Good afternoon, and welcome to the Interact Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Ethan Bolt, Chief Content Officer of Direct Marketing IQ. And this live session is basically two great multi-channel case studies, one from Zions Bank and the other from Stop Hunger Now. It features Matthew Wilcox, e-business director of Zions Bank Corporation, and from Stop Hunger Now, the president and CEO, Rod Brooks, as well as Shasni Barak, the director of marketing and communications. Now, before they speak, just a little bit of technology pointers. Here's a few quick tips to make the most of today's webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. Make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer. And you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget as well, which will help show you how to customize your experience today. You can even tweet, as you see from the console. Lastly, it's good to know that if you leave the session at any time or you want to view it again later, you can access it from the auditorium for the next 3 months, beginning on Thursday, August 25th. So in the next 50 minutes, you'll get to hear about two successful but very different multi-channel campaigns. Both demonstrate the power of multi-channel, especially when the right strategy and creative is in place. Rod Brooks and Chesney Barak of Stop Hunger Now will go first, and then Matthew Wilcox of Zions Bank Corporation will follow, and we'll try to answer a few questions afterwards. So without further ado, over to you, Rod and Chesney.
Well, hi, Ethan, and thanks, everyone. Glad to be a part of the presentation today, and we appreciate the opportunity to share with you what we were able to do through Stop Hunger Now to provide the aid that we did in, after the Haiti earthquake last year. I thought we'd start first with just a brief introduction for Stop Hunger Now. Stop Hunger Now is an international hunger relief organization that coordinates the distribution of food and other life-saving aid around the world. Our vision is a world without hunger, and our mission is to end hunger in our lifetime by first providing food and life-saving aid to the world's most vulnerable, and secondly, by creating a global commitment to mobilize the necessary resources. That is really to build the movement to end hunger, if you will. Stop Hunger Now's meal packaging program is a program in which volunteers have the opportunity to pack dehydrated, high-protein, and highly nutritious meals that are used in crisis situations and in school feeding programs for schools and orphanages in developing countries around the world. In our efforts to respond to emergency needs around the world, we also receive and distribute significant donations of in-kind aid. In-kind aid is basically donations of large quantities of food, medicines, medical supplies, and other such items as may be of use in fighting hunger and providing relief in a crisis. We have been shipping our meals to Haiti since 2006, and because of the strong partnerships that we had in place prior to the earthquake, we were positioned to respond immediately. In fact, that's one of the things I often emphasize, is that when you support a school feeding program, you really can provide somewhat of a safety net in the event of a crisis. In fact, 1.5 million meals had arrived in Haiti in December of 2009, just 3 weeks before the earthquake that occurred on January 12th. And so our meals were utilized to feed those affected the day after the devastation. However, we knew that the need would be much greater and continuing, and so we implemented a multi-channel campaign almost immediately to raise funds and supplies for those affected by the disaster. Our goal was to package meals, collect in-kind aid, and raise funds, and our main objective was to mobilize our resources as quickly as possible.
Great. Thanks, Rod. So as Rod was mentioning, one of our primary goals was to respond immediately to the crisis in Haiti. How amazing that some of us have experienced what a shake feels like here on the East Coast at a little over 5.8 magnitude. The earthquake in Haiti was nearly 7.0 magnitude. So we can only imagine what the devastation was there in Haiti, and therefore we knew that we needed to respond quickly, not only with the resources that we did have in country, but enabled to mobilize more resources. And so we wanted to reach out directly to all of our supporters as quickly as possible, and started by putting together an email campaign immediately. The day following the earthquake, we had an email out to our house file of 9,000 emails. It did reach everybody before noon that next day. This was so important because the earthquake was being covered in the media, and a lot of our supporters who were dedicated to Stop Hunger Now and trusted the way we respond to crisis, wanted to find a way to donate to us immediately. So providing them with the email that had the proper links, had the information about the situation, gave some information about how Stop Hunger Now planned to respond, and gave them an active link to immediately donate there online was important. So that was the first communication that we had with our supporters directly following the earthquake, was an email the following day. We did follow this email with three more throughout their year in order to follow up with some of the success that we had in getting aid in, thanking and acknowledging the supporters and donors that provided not only funds but in-kind donations, and to just continue to educate and close the loop for our donors and supporters on how we were responding. The second fundraising strategy was to incorporate this in our direct mail campaign. We sent a printed newsletter in February, just a couple of weeks after the earthquake in Haiti, but had an opportunity to really highlight some of our supporters and donors that came forward so quickly. This acknowledgement process is such an important part of fundraising, and we wanted to make sure that not only we communicated the success we were having in raising funds and aid for the victims in Haiti, but also to have an opportunity to really highlight the work of some of the specific partners. So this was a four-page printed direct mail piece that was sent to probably 20,000 addresses, and it also included not only the acknowledgement, but provided an opportunity for people to learn how they could continue to support our efforts, since it was not just the response just months leading up, not just the months after the earthquake, but many months to come following it. So we also wanted to acknowledge the donors throughout the rest of the year. In addition to the first quarter newsletter, we also provided updates through the rest of 2010. And then finally, we had the opportunity to use social media to spread the word and give some information, as I mentioned before, on how to get involved, how to donate, how to package meals or provide in-kind aid, but also, again, hear from the donors directly and hear from the people that were responding by utilizing YouTube and some documentary videos that were produced for us. So this was a great way for people to really see the impact of their work and their support, and utilize those social media outlets in order to give them the opportunity to share what they did in Haiti response with their friends and family.
So just to sort of conclude and share with you some of the results as well, through this campaign, Stop Hunger Now raised more than $3.8 million, which included in-kind donations valued at about $2 million. A large portion of the response came from the online channel, especially with donation forms for specific high-value donors who were hosting their own personal fundraising campaigns for Haiti. That was a particularly effective tool. We had some folks who really wanted to reach out to their, you know, their colleagues and to be able to respond here, and we were able to provide that functionality for them. We also got great response from major donors who sent in large donations via the mail. A total of 690 donations came in from individuals, mostly between $15 and $50, as well as several $10,000 and $100,000 gifts. Also, one thing that was pretty interesting that came out of this, Hooters of America, Hooters Restaurants of America, donated 100% of their sales during the fourth quarter of the 2010 Super Bowl to Stop Hunger Now in response to Haiti, which and that donation amounted to about $103,000. So overall, we were very happy with the campaign, both in terms of its ability to generate resources for our relief efforts, but also in terms of keeping our donors informed. I can't emphasize enough how important it was to us to help sort of close the loop for donors and be able to illustrate the impact that we were having, and in particular the social media tools that we had available enabled us to do that. And that concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Well, I'll go ahead and get started. Thank you so much. I'm, as they said earlier, as Ethan said, Matthew Wilcox, e-business director for Zions Bank Corporation. Just one of the things that I want to go over and touch base on before I get started. Zions Bank Corporation is made up of 8 banks in 10 states, and the focus of today's presentation will be on Zions Bank, which is headquartered in Utah and Idaho, and a tool and program that we put together for multi-touch communications for existing clients, as well as a thank you program or an onboarding program for new customers or new accounts that were added to the bank. So the first thing we looked at as we went through this is really understanding why multi-channel marketing, why is it important, and why having to look at it from all different angles, and felt that this graph really was representative of what we were trying to achieve. And really the purpose of our program was not only to acquire new customers, but really to engage existing customers, grow the relationship, and eventually retain those customers. As we looked at the new continuum and added in new media, and as we talked about, the social media really the game changer, but really looking at what we can do from a reach standpoint as well as engaging, and felt like we had to do more to convert existing customers. They were looking for more information. They were looking to their social graph. They were looking to friends and family. And so we wanted to be in position to not only be innovative in our communication, but also collaborative with their friends and family in helping support and communicate our products and offerings. So as you take a look and you think about your last great multi-channel marketing experience, when you look around, they're all over the place. And on the next slide, you can see a couple of companies that we've mentioned here that have really done things well from a multi-channel standpoint. And some financial institutions, some not financial institutions, but these companies have really exhibited, and just taking a look, say, at Best Buy, they've done a great job of incorporating not only social media, but also direct mail, email, and specific landing pages. And one of the things we'll focus on today is PURLs, or personalized URLs, as a basis for some of the promotions and campaigns that we have done. But really, when you get down to it, the center of a great multi-channel experience is really looking at the customer and making sure that you have consistency there. And so is there consistency across all of the different platforms and communication mechanisms as you communicate? And so these really are the center is making sure that you're consistent in your communication with the customer. So, again, it's really about you and the customer being you and making sure that we take advantage of that. So what channels should you use to reach your customers, and what channels did we use? And as you take a look from a financial services standpoint in the financial services industry, and I know that we have others that are not in the financial services landscape, but for us, as we looked at the spend, we saw that the spend across our industry was growing rapidly in the interactive space. And so banks were starting to leverage mobile. They were starting to leverage social media. Believe it or not, there were still many, including some of the ones that we work with, that weren't yet using email. And so these channels were really growing leaps and bounds in the use of this. However, our research, and we'll touch on it again in a minute, is that direct mail and the more traditional forms were not going away. They were just being used differently, and we've had that experience with not only our marketing efforts, but with our sales efforts and our branches. You know, our branch network is not going away, but it's really being used differently than it was in the past, whereas they're more high-touch sales offices as opposed to transactions, and we've been able to move more of our transactions into the online arena. Going to the next slide, as I mentioned, consumers still like traditional media, and if you look down at these stats, you know, many of them still prefer mail for a variety of reasons. They can read it when it's convenient, they can refer back to it, and there's still a sense of trust that comes with traditional media. And so for us to be able to harness this new innovative way of communicating and using multi-channels but still not losing the effectiveness of the traditional media was really important for us. And so one of the things that we continue to be asked is, you know, why direct mail? And again, the proof here provided is that, you know, direct mail is still used. It's, people still utilize it. It's still converting. And one of the things that we found, though, is combining direct mail with personalized landing pages or online or email, our conversion rates and sales were up much higher than just using more siloed effects of sending out a traditional direct mail piece. So the focus really is really channel choices driven by the buying stage and the trust. And so if you look at it, we've used the different channels at different times during the life cycle of a customer or the sales cycle for that customer. And you can see, and even one of the more staggering statistics that we have come across is the 18 to 34-year-old demographic still prefers mail and newspapers versus social media. That's not to say that they're not using social media, but when it comes to a trusted resource to looking at making a purchase, they're looking at more traditional methods as opposed to the social space. So again, it changes, the channel choice changes during the buying process, and so you can see here social media and more mass media and websites are really more during the awareness phase. But when you start to get down to more of the cross-sell and retain phase, you can see that the traditional methods of direct mail and phone are in there, and you start to see email and others interspersed in there. So there's power in having multiple channels, and you need them during the life cycle and sales cycle. So for us, you know, how do you avoid being roadkill with your multi-channel marketing efforts? And the crux of our promotion and campaign and the steps that we went through for our multi-channel program was really we started with clearly defined business goals. You know, what do we want to accomplish? What's important to us, and how are we going to measure that success? Putting together a very attainable business plan. You know, we had a lot of great ideas and a room full of ideas on white walls of things we wanted to do, but at the end of the day, we had to put it into action, and so we put it together in a more attainable plan. We wanted to make sure that we had business rules and processes, and this was really the key step for us, is making sure when we launched the pilot, it was more about making sure that the process worked as opposed to was it effective as far as a cross-selling conversion rate. We wanted to make sure that it really worked, and we were surprised by both that it worked really well, and we also saw great results. And then we wanted to focus on the substance as opposed to style. It wasn't about the most flashy creative when we got started with this. And at the end of the day, making sure that we had a way to test and measure the results. So we really got started with our multi-touch program in a variety of different ways. It's really about how we got started. And so we ran a pilot program starting with 50,000 households, and we started this back at the end of 2009 to really focus on we wanted to make sure we had enough people that we were targeting that were seeing the message, but not using too many, biting off more than we could chew, and making sure that it worked. The next is we really wanted to refine the process, and we did that for a bank-wide implementation in Q1 2010. The success of just the consumer-driven portion of it was so good that we expanded it to small business clientele, which was a little bit more difficult when you're talking about multi-channel communication. So for those of you that are on the call that are targeting small business, the the difficulty that we had was, you know, who is the signer on the account? Who do you target with the small business account? Who is the decision maker for that small business? Whereas on the consumer side, you're typically targeting the decision maker, and so more metrics went into and more data refinement went into the small business client piece. And then we really wanted to establish the key performance indicators for the program for revenue and account growth. So now that we've established the model of how things will work, what are we going to measure for revenue and account growth? How are we going to show that this is being successful in terms of dollars in account acquisition as opposed to just the process works? So you can see here, this is the original flow chart that we went with, and we really like to pull this slide out, one, because it really looks cool, but two, because it really was the process that we went through. And it looks more complicated here on paper than it actually was, but this is the cycle that we sent customers through for multi-channel integration. So we targeted them with direct mail and email, and if we had their email address, we made sure that they received an email address. But in some instances, we only had a physical address for customers, and so part of the starting point of communications was acquiring that email address and determining what's their best preferred method of communication. So we really wanted to reach out to the customer and find out, how would you like us to communicate? How would you like to hear from your bank? And surprisingly, the majority wanted to have account information sent to them via email, but said they preferred product offerings via direct mail. And so we had to intersperse and use both methods in the sales cycle. And this chart will walk you through, and you can see based on how they respond, if they looked at the offer on the landing page, if they responded to the email, if they opened an account, the follow-up communication was different depending on the action taken, all the way up to if they didn't take any action, we asked them to take a survey to find out why. And if they purchased a product, we asked them to take a survey to find out why as well. And so we continue to incorporate the data and analytics into our findings and have continued to refine this flowchart over time. The next piece here, just to walk you through quickly, is some of the creative. And as we talked about originally, we weren't as concerned about the flashy creative at first. But what we found is that we were using different variations of creative, whether they were a branch customer or an online customer, or if we were sending them to online and sending them an email. And you can see here with the original branch letter, it was very, very product-centric. We were focusing on the sale immediately, and as you see on this next slide with the original email, it was far different. And so, and even going to the next one, the personalized landing page had a different look and feel than the branch letter. And so our original, the original context was to push the product out on this, and as you can see, as we've grown over time onto this personalized landing page, it's less about the product push, even though we do have the account that they were modeled for. We also have engagement services to add value to their account, such as Trusteer, which is an online protection service, as well as you can see on the bottom right, similar to some of the messages that Stop Hunger Now had, is supporting and promoting our social media offerings as well. And then walking through on how they can better engage with the bank and how we can better engage with them from an engagement standpoint with some of these other engagement services. So some of the key learnings that we had is that the business logic and program rules really were validated, so we did roll this out bank-wide. We felt like our product benefits weren't coming across clearly, so it was too me too. You know, we were really pushing ourselves via email and on the landing page, and they were really starting to look more like a minor league outfield as opposed to an engaging letter or service offering that we were wanting to send to our customers. And we really wanted to incorporate metrics from the following areas. We started to pull more website analytics. What pages were they going to before they went to their personalized URL? What pages were they going to after? How were they engaging on their personalized landing pages? Were they being effective? Which we found they were being quite effective. What were the email metrics that they were? What were the click-through and open rates? Direct mail, how was that having an impact with both email as well as when we didn't send an email? were we driving people into the branch and paid search? Did we see an increase in product searches as a result of the product offerings going out to customers? And we did find that as we sent out more checking account acquisition emails and letters, we were seeing an increase in search metrics as a result of that, as people were going to different areas, different channels to validate whether that was the right product for them or the right bank for them. So based on those learnings, you can see here some of the adjustments that we made is, again, less in-your-face selling, especially on the landing page. The landing page really became something much more personalized and customized based on their relationship to offer better engagement services and for them to feel like we were adding value to their banking relationship. We had clients express a desire for additional third-party information to help validate purchases. So you'll see in a minute on the future landing pages is we had a lot of information about different services such as how to better save for college or how should they save for retirement, things like that. So it wasn't just you know open up a 401k account with us or a Roth IRA, but really what does that mean and how can we better engage? We had more product offers, not from a checking and savings account standpoint, but more product offers on services that would add value to their accounts, such as mobile banking and some of those other things that would better help them transact. And then we had much more visibly engaging creative, which you'll see here in a second. So the creative really evolved to be more of a colorful and consistent design. So online was really the brand that was being clicked on and utilized most, and so the letters and things incorporated that. The offers incentives being offered in other areas, so we incorporated more special offers so they felt like they were a select group, not just everybody else. And the landing pages with product-related content from third-party sources. So, and that really came as we did some website usability studies that they were really looking for that type of information. So you can see here on this slide, this is the revised direct mail, and you can note that it's personalized, so it's got a name associated with it from the branch of origin that these customers would be going to. They've got multiple options here from the standpoint of how to engage with the bank or how to purchase that product. So it wasn't just the landing page or it wasn't just the phone number and it wasn't just going into the branch, but we collectively put all of those options within the letter. On the next, you can see the similarity between the email and the previous slide, the letter. You can see here that on the email, there's a push to get them to go to their personalized landing page, and it's very, very limited copy on here and more about how to engage and push them to one of the channels that they prefer as opposed to just a heavy, heavy product push. And then here on the landing page, you can see, on as we discussed earlier, on the right-hand side, you can see that these are the areas that we have for third-party information so they can better validate. Because as we saw, as we sent out an offering, they were going to Google or other search options, another channel to validate the information we were providing. So we went ahead and put that information in the landing page so that they could easily obtain that. And then we also gave them multiple options. So if they were modeled for a checking account, we gave them another option to look at the other checking accounts that we provide. Then here on the next slide is the flow chart that we took them through. So after they purchased a product with us, we walked them through this flow chart of communications for the first 90 days of the relationship. And so the relationship was really centered around thanking them and surprising them and retaining them over the first 90 days. And you can see here there's a multitude of options as we communicate with them. So from account opening, they immediately got a thank you email. Then there was a call made out to them to thank them, a welcome letter, which you saw the creative of that. They were then put into our newsletter, and the newsletter was customized to them with information that they were modeled for, all the way down to a quarterly, what we call the product propensity model, where we modeled them on their next most likely product to purchase and sent them that information. So it really wasn't just centered on what the bank needed most, but more what the client needed most. And again, you can see the creative here is very, very similar to the other creative that you saw for our multi-touch program for the onboarding creative. One of the other things that we had to take a look at after rolling this out is the economic impact on the program and unless you're living under a rock, you've seen all of the new legislation and regulations as a result of the financial services industry. And so we have made some changes to have a much heavier emphasis on credit-related products. We had a renewed focus on moving clients to electronic channels, so they were much more cost-effective channels for us to move them over, so it was much more cost-effective to support the relationship via those channels. And then a much heavier reliance on online product applications versus opening the products in the branches. The FISR has published a stat that a transaction in a branch typically costs around $4.50 for the basic transaction versus an online transaction is a 17-cent transaction. And so you can see the cost difference and the potential cost savings that could become by moving them into a more cost-effective channel. And then here's just a sample snapshot of some of the other focus for the credit emails. And again, you can see the consistency and the creative and the push to get them into their personalized landing page. And then another slant that we took for credit emails, but you can still see the very, very similarities in the copy and the number of content, but much more visual and a lot more imagery as it relates to the credit emails on home refinance or home new home loans. So some of the key program results, the multi-touch campaign really had impressive lifts, and so we saw a response rate for the non-mailed control group of about 130%, and we saw average balances increase by about 241%, so it was very, very successful for us. About 84% of the new accounts and 95% of the balance dollars were in deposit-related product lines, so we saw a lot of deposits move into the bank, and again, that can be attributed to the economic impact as well. And then onboarding program reduced attrition by approximately 5%, which has tremendous value to our bottom line by not having to spend excessive dollars in acquiring new customers. And we continue to fill that funnel to acquire new customers, but by being able to retain and reduce attrition by 5% was tremendous. And then we continue to see increased traffic to the personalized URLs. We see that the clients have really loved and find a lot of value in having personalized information on a landing page for themselves. Additional program results, so the account response rate of the overall the campaign achieved an account response rate of 5%, again with about 75% of additional accounts encompassing deposit products. Two areas that we haven't been satisfied with that we're targeting and working on are in the email. We saw the email open rate slip from 18% to 14%, so we're doing a lot of study and analysis and changing some things on email to increase that. And we've also seen the click-through rates on the first email drop to about 1%. So it's real important for us to increase both of those, and those are far below what we're normally used to. So we're going to take advantage of those. So what have some of the other impacts have been? So we've really reduced the number of one-off messages via direct and email. So we've seen a lot of cost savings, and we have a lot of less we have less list fatigue for email. So we're not sending we're sending more valuable emails as opposed to more one-off emails and more one-off direct mail campaigns. We've incorporated all of the retail offerings within the program. So any marketing that is going on in the branches is actually driven by these communication methods as opposed to how it used to be in the past where a decision was made on putting a marketing message in store and then utilizing that to send out via direct mail and email. It's actually the opposite now. And then each new product conversion gets funneled into the onboarding program, so we continually have communication with the customer on trying to add value to the relationship and finding out what other services they may need, not really pushing products via that service method, but really finding out what we can do better to serve them, and that's an ongoing communication, an ongoing thanking them for the relationship. And that concludes the portion of my presentation.
Thank you very much, Matt, and thank you, Rod and Chesney, for those presentations very much. Now we have some minutes for Q&A. So anybody out there listening, if you're not too shaken up by the earthquake, because just to let you know, apparently it's been felt in the Midwest, so it's gone all across the country. But if you could please send in questions, we would love to answer them. The first question will actually go to all three of you, because the questioner would be curious in your take. The questioner basically says, social media is a great marketing channel. However, do you feel social media and or online replaces print, or do you feel it is important to do all the media channels?
This is Matt. I'll take the first stab at answering that. I don't believe it is replacing the traditional methods. However, I do think it is impacting it, and I think from our standpoint, we're doing some things differently, and there are some things that we're handling via social media that are purely only being done on social media because we found that social media is a special case, and we don't want to repeat or replicate what we do offline in social media all the time. And so we've been very diligent in making sure that social media is separate from that. But there is some overlap and crossover, but it certainly hasn't taken away the traditional forms of media, but it has lowered the use of them, but I don't see them going away completely.
And this is Rod. I'll just add to what Matt's saying. I would completely agree that we don't see it replacing the traditional communications and media, but we do, at least in my perspective, I think it adds a whole new level of personal connection and certainly enables us to communicate more frequently. For us as a nonprofit organization, particularly one in responding to a crisis situation, it was important for us to be able to get information out that was timely and relevant to our donors, and really to engage them in almost a personal dialogue, and that was our goal. So I very much see them as complementary and building on each other.
Okay. Yeah, and I noticed that your Stop Hunger Now campaign, I guess you even asked for donations via your Facebook page. Is that right?
Yes, we did. Chesty, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, we did. We had our not only the online donation form that was available through our website, but we also utilized Facebook Causes, which is a way to process donations through their site, and the money is received through Network for Good. So we opened every channel possible in order to allow people to make donations to Stop Hunger Now.
Right. And one other thing that's related to your particular case study, I read that a very large portion of your response came via the online channels. And if you can maybe talk about, it seems like a lot of awareness, obviously, and even a quick news can be brought through the print channel, but the back end, the online channel became so important for your organization, is that right?
That is correct. People, especially in responding to this crisis, felt like they needed a way to make a donation or to do something immediately. And so having the online donation capability, a quick link that people can use to process their credit card quickly, was where the most immediate response came from in regards to cash donations. So we did receive some people that mobilized some larger scale campaigns, as Rod mentioned. There was a couple of major donors that wanted to reach out to their network, and some of those large donations did take a couple of weeks in order to receive. But when it came to the large portion of our supporters that were moved by the situation in Haiti, having the online resource for them to have an immediate way to process the donation was extremely important.
And, I agree, if I can just add briefly, I think that too that there's, what we're seeing that social media is enabling is a lot more participation, and that's, by individual donors. And it really struck me that the majority of the gifts that we received were between, $15 and $50. Yes, you've got to have, major donors out there to sustain your efforts and able to you to respond, but truly, through social media, individuals can make a real impact, and I think that in itself is a very empowering opportunity for folks to know that they can make a difference through you know, texting from their cell phone or responding with a $5 or $10 donation through Facebook, and to know that those funds and those resources are being utilized right away.
And if we turn to the Zions Bank campaign for a second, Matt, it seems like you made quite a few revisions with each channel, whether it was your direct mail, your email, even your landing page. Was there an overriding theme in terms of those revisions and how you went about those?
Yeah, I mean, they were really metric driven and also feedback forms. So we created, and one thing I didn't touch on was an online advisory board. And so we sent out creative and other things to folks that agreed to participate in that. And so a lot of it was driven on both metrics and response, but also direct feedback from the customer. The other key learning is the consistency. And so a lot of the changes from the pilot to the rollout were really centered on making sure that there was consistency across all channels. And some of the good case studies that we reviewed and some of the logos I showed earlier, as we researched those companies, one thing they did is regardless of the channel you were engaging with them in, there was consistency in the look and feel. And so that was the overriding theme for us, was making sure that we had some consistency in look and feel across all channels.
Right. Okay. Here's a question for Chesney and Rod. Going forward, do you think you would now use a QR code on your direct mail to drive to online donation?
And we actually do. We have established a QR code in order to drive supporters to our website and to make a donation through that channel. And we're also utilizing the QR mobile barcode on any of our printed marketing materials that we might distribute during our meal packaging events and the opportunities that we have to come face-to-face with volunteers. So the answer is yes. And we are using the QR mobile barcode on our direct mail.
And what about Zions Bank, Matt?
Yeah, so we actually just launched our first newspaper ad and campaign where we utilized those codes. And so it was actually for home refinance loans to find out additional information. And so we used the code in the ad, and we used the code in the letter and email that were and the letter and in-branch merchandising that was sent out. And so we did leverage that for the first time just last month, actually.
Okay. And in terms of advice for different companies using QR codes, this is for both of your organizations. Do you accompany the QR code with language in terms of telling the prospect or the donor prospect what to do with the QR code, or do they just sit by themselves?
For Zions, it just sat by itself and didn't really have any sort of additional information or instruction. It just kind of sat by itself.
Okay.
It's same with Stop Hunger Now. We have it placed at the bottom where the rest of the information, our address, phone number, Facebook, all the ways that they can get in touch with us, it's included there as well.
Okay.
Without instructions.
Right. Has Stop Hunger Now, have they ever used a personalized URL?
We have not.
Well, it looks like we don't really have any more questions, so I think we will close the session today. Thank you very much for attending. We have one more session left if you're interested in seeing the closing roundtable. And we do appreciate everyone attending. On behalf of Target Marketing, Printing and Impressions Magazine, thanks again. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard today, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge. You can chat live with other session attendees there. You can also check out the info booth to fill out our show survey, because we do want to know what you think about your experience. And check out the agenda for the rest of the day. There's many sessions that already came, and you can see those on demand and by adding them to your briefcase. So thanks again for attending. Have a great evening.